The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Welcome to the Sports Kings from Queens, where all the sports talk is royal real and straight from the boroughs. Today's Monday, December 22nd. This is episode 210. It's Christmas time. Ho, 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 everybody. I'm Gino, joined by Kevin and Darren. Catch us wherever you get your podcasts. Like, subscribe, follow us on Facebook and YouTube and Instagram. Join our pages. Give us a look. We're posting all of the college bowl games the last week and going into this week. We're making picks on every game. You got something to say, tell us. We want to hear what you got to say. We want to know who you're picking. Tonight, NFL Week 16 in the books. Got one game going on right now. College football playoffs. We saw round one already. We got baseball talk. We're going to get it going. We're going to start it off with some college football. Darren, first four games happened for the college football playoff. Talk to me.
Yeah, man, it's exactly what we thought was going to happen. We were going to have two good games and two not-so-good games, and therefore, suddenly, we have the question of how do we adjust the playoff to make sure we don't get two bad games? And there's no way, really, to do it because there would be litigation, so you have to have at least one of these games. But how do we limit it from two bad games to one, I guess, is the question. But let's start with the games. We had the 9-8 matchup Friday night, which to me was the most exciting game of the weekend.
It was.
It was by far the, you know, there was offense, there was plays, there was a lot of things that happened. And in this game, you didn't think there was going to be a game because Oklahoma jumped out so quick. They were up 17-0 before you could bat an eyelash, Kev. Really wasn't much of a – you didn't think Alabama had any shot at, for a chance for a second there.
The way Alabama was playing down the stretch, the way they got embarrassed in the SEC championship game, 17-0 early second, I thought game over.
Especially with Oklahoma's defense, you're saying to yourself, no chance, right? Then yeah. All of a sudden, you know, after basically the Bama comes down. They get the fourth down, the fourth and two. Herb Street was making a big deal about this all night. I don't know how you can't go for it, fourth and two from the 10. They made like this mountain out of it like it was some sort of like genius move by DeBoer. I thought he had to go for it. And Simpson hits the freshman Brooks, breaks multiple tackles, gets into the end zone. Makes it a 17-7 game, and all of a sudden you're saying, all right, maybe if they get a stop here. To me, the biggest play of the game comes in the next series. And I know everybody's talking about the block punt, but I talk about the third and four. Mateer breaks from the pocket, throws a perfect pass down to Robinson, who should have caught it at the 10-yard line, and he just dropped it. And they were forced to punt. I mean, he's running to his left, throwing across his body, throws it 40 yards in the air. It's basically perfect. Robinson drops it, and all I'm hearing Herb Street saying is, well, he could have scrambled. He got greedy. Yeah, right, he could have scrambled, but he threw the ball where he was supposed to throw it. It wasn't like he missed them.
Yeah.
I thought that was the turning point of the whole game.
It was a sure first down if he scrambled, yeah, but, boy, he had a chance. And like you said, Dan, it was a perfect throw. Couldn't have placed it any better. He's got to make that catch. I mean, it's a huge play. And
yeah.
You know, Mateer made the play. The receiver didn't.
Exactly. Then they're forced to punt. They take the five-yard penalty, G. Then all of a sudden, we get the blocked punt. And, you know, suddenly it's a 17-10 game. Now, the big guy just falls on it, doesn't try to pick it up and run with it, which I was a little surprised at. But I guess you just see the ball, you just do what you have to do. But the Oklahoma defense stiffens, holds them to the field goal, Kev. Keeps it at 17-10.
Yeah, you thought, okay, big mistake, but the defense settled in there. Okay.
Four plays later, the worst pass of the night for Metairie. He throws the pick six under duress to Brown, 50 yards, takes it down the sideline, and that's that. It's all of a sudden at 17-17, and like in a matter of seconds, this game went from 17-0 to 17-17, and all the Bama fans, you know, are all pumped up, and all of a sudden it's a game now. And now you're wondering who's going to respond from this point. And, you know, basically – you know, we get through the next couple of series, and all of a sudden Alabama throws another touchdown to Brooks. Yeah, Kev. Sorry.
I got it. I'm gonna just put you on hold a minute. So go ahead.
Yeah. So then, you know, Alabama throws the big touchdown to Brooks, right? So now we see Brooks twice, the true freshman. He catches another one. You never hear his name. You're hearing all the other names all season long. Brooks makes another great play.
Brooks had a nice season for a freshman. I mean, his numbers were decent, but he had no touchdown catches the whole season. Has two in this game.
It was ridiculous.
It was so quick. I mean, it was a three-play, 60-yard drive. Yeah. The incompletion surrounded the 30-yard run by Hill and the 30-yard pass to Brooks. I mean, it was just two big plays there.
And then all of a sudden, it's 24-17. And Oklahoma answers. They come down and they get a field goal again. Alabama, next time, they go up 27-17. But Oklahoma, you think they're dead. They answer.
Yeah,
they come down with a 75-yard drive of their own, cut it to 27-24, and they force the punt. So they get the ball right back, but OU returns the favor and punts it right back. Poor punt. Alabama starts at the 35.
Yeah, the field position there was huge.
Four plays later, it's 10 points again, 34-24. After a few changes of punts, Oklahoma starts moving the ball down the field. And Sandell, who's been amazing all season long, misses the 36-yarder, which no one expects to have happen there. That cut the two-score game.
I mean, he was a Groza Award winner. He had made 24 consecutive field goals at that point, and he misses the 36-yarder.
And then, you know, they missed another one late. They tried to do that. I would have tried to get a little closer than 50-plus. I didn't understand the move there. I would have got to the 45 or so, but –
it's 51. I mean, he still had over a minute left on the clock.
Yeah,
I would like they to have to get it. You weren't down to 20 seconds where you needed to do that. You had time to get another 10 or 15 yards and kick it with 45 or 40 or 30 seconds, you know, and still have enough. I mean, it's coming down no matter what to the onsides and the Hail Mary type pass anyway. Get closer. Make it a little better than just a 51-yarder that you settled for.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the way the game ends, 34-24. Oklahoma outgained them. They had more first downs. They were 7-for-17 on third, while Alabama was 2-for-12. Yet it didn't matter because the big plays were made by Alabama. The special teams play and the pick six really were the difference in the game for this one, Kev.
It was the opposite of the regular season where, you know, this game Oklahoma had the advantage, but were made the mistakes, the block punt and the pick six, as opposed to the first game where Alabama made the four turnovers.
And this is the difference. And Alabama moves on to play Indiana and the Rose Bowl. So then we get to Saturday. Any comments, G, on the first game? Or
no, well? Sorry. I have surprise visitors visiting me from Tennessee right now.
All right. Say hi to your brother.
So just – I'm okay.
We're good. So then we get to the Saturday early game, Kevin. This is another really competitive close game. A little bit of the opposite reason. Basically, nobody could score in this game until the end. And, you know, listen, the winning quarterback throws for 111 yards. You know, I mean, that's what we're looking at here. You know, the winning team was 3-for-12 on third. The losing team was 8-for-18. There's not a lot to talk about in this. A&M outgained, Miami by about 50 yards. But, you know, Fact of the matter is that I thought that the Miami offensive and defensive lines were just a little bit better than the Texas A&M. I thought they controlled the trenches, G.
So normally I hate a game like this. I want you guys know this. I hate a game
that you love it, you hate it.
Right, a game that is 3-0 going into the fourth quarter, I absolutely hate it. I got to tell you, this was a great game to watch. This was a great I watched it. This was a great game to watch. Both defenses played. The offenses were so-so in the first half, I'd say. But as you got to the end of the first half, in the third quarter, the offenses seemed to be kicking in. It was the defenses that were just ridiculous.
Yeah.
That whole third quarter, the defenses, and you could actually feel it. I'm like, okay, somebody's going to score. You had the missed field goal. And it was like,
well, by Miami.
One in the third. It's like, oh my God. So go ahead, Dan.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about this game was suddenly Fletcher kind of took over a little bit in the fourth and just wore down A&M. And Marcel Reed, who did probably as much as you could do with the amount of duress he was on, did very well till the very, very end where he threw the pick that kind of cost them the game. Yeah. I thought Marcel Reed was probably the best player in the field for 3 quarters of this game, and then Fletcher kind of took it over, Kev. I mean, that's really what I took. And defensively, I thought Miami was just so dominant on that D-line.
I mean, under pressure throughout, Reed was. The wind, you could tell, just everything blowing around. It was wreaking havoc, I think, you know, offensively also. But he's sort of the kicking game. I mean, for Davis, like you said, to go 1-for-4. A&M, who's had problems with the kicking game all year, had their first field goal blocked with a chip shot.
Yep.
And then Bond finally hits one. And, you know, Fletcher had that. Well, I think the big thing was Miami started that last drive pinned back because of the great punt. And you're thinking, yep, if you're Texas A&M, you're really looking, going, we've played great defense. We get one stop here. We've got field position. We've got a real chance. And then Fletcher breaks off that 56-yarder,
yep,
which just opened up the entire rest of the drive there for them. They get the touchdown. And then A&M, Reed does a great job coming back with under 2 minutes left. Gets the first and goal at the 5 with 33 seconds left. 2 incompletions, and then the interception. A little late, a little behind the receiver. It's third down. You got to make sure you lead the guy.
Yeah, you can't make that pass. Third down,
Fourth down and goal, you throw the pick. You got to throw it in there anyway. But third down, you still have another play.
Gino, and I look at Reed, the quarterback he reminds me most of just by frame is your guy, Daniels.
Yeah,
he's skinny, I can see that. He's quick. Yeah. He's He's very lean. Daniels a much more accurate passer. Don't get me wrong. It's not even in the same stratosphere. But when you watch him scrambling and moving around and directing, he kind of reminds me a little bit of Jaden Daniels. But what we saw on that last play shows me that the arm strength may not be there, or the decision making may not be there in a big spot. Again, the kid played well. I mean, he wasn't bad until that pass. He was 25 for 39, but he did throw the 2 interceptions, which really hurt them. Jake? Yep.
So how good would you say, like 1 to 10, how good would you say the Texas A&M offensive line is, though?
You know, offensive line, they're usually for the season probably about a 7, 7.5. Yeah. Okay. Miami's defensive line dominated that game, though.
Okay, because that's the only thing with Reed. He's able to scramble, but I really don't know enough to know if it's him or if it's just that the O-line is really good against these teams and giving him enough time to scramble.
Yeah, the O-line normally pretty good.
Okay.
I thought Miami's defensive line was the best unit on the field. Okay. Throughout the game. And this ends up being 10-3. Carson Beck didn't do much, but he did enough in that last drive. And it seemed like they found something over that right guard, right tackle area in the second half where they started to exploit A&M on the ground. Because in the first half, they couldn't move the ball at all. First half, it was A&M that was moving it a little bit more often. Even though Miami missed more of the field goals, it was a big punt return. There was an interception close. I mean, it wasn't like they were driving the ball. But in the second half, they started to move the ball a little bit. And then, like you said, Kev, the 56-yard burst just kind of put it away.
Yep.
Miami advances. So now they're going to get to play in the Cotton Bowl.
Ohio State,
which is like a rematch of championship games of the past. And it's kind of a good rivalry. So it's one that you sit there and you look forward to. Then we had the two that weren't so good, guys, right? We kind of didn't expect much. I kind of hoped Tulane would keep it close. If you looked at the overall stats at the end of the game, you know, both teams had over 400 yards of offense, but it was never a game. I mean, it was 27-3 at the half, 41-3 late. They scored the late touchdown to make it 41-10. But Ole Miss just really wasn't able to be stopped by the Tulane defense, and the Tulane offense – Yeah, they had a couple shots at 24-3. They got stopped at 3rd and 4th and 1 from their own 47. If you get down there and they get 24-10, maybe you say, oh, it's a game. But they didn't get there, and they didn't even cross midfield on that. I mean, Lacy and Chambliss both played well. Kev, any comments on this one?
No, there's not much to say. I mean, like I said, it's over by halfway through the first. It was 14-0. I mean, they came out with, what, 5 straight plays over 20 yards?
Yeah.
The offense sort of got a little bit – they could – the offense a little bit more from there. They didn't give up the big plays, but Ole Miss just was relentless the whole game.
Yeah.
Lacy was able to run it down their throat, and Chambliss was able to do what he wanted. And then the nightcap, which I was hoping JMU would be competitive. This score looks so much closer than this game was. And the total yards are 509 to 504.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a joke. Oregon held off the dogs at the end. They called them off.
Forget about the score. It was 34-6 at the half.
And that was only because Oregon had its first turnover when they threw the pick. They gave them the 3 points. It was 34-3, but Oregon probably going to score again. James Madison had 31 more plays. and they just did, but it didn't matter. Oregon the game was over in the second quarter, Kev.
I wrote down the first 5 drives of the game. Yeah. Oregon goes 4 plays for the touchdown. It's a 2-point. JMU does what we thought they would do. 15 plays, 8 minutes, settled for the field goal.
Yep.
Oregon, 5 plays for the touchdown. JMU, another 10 plays, missed a field goal. Oregon, 3 plays, 78 yards and a touchdown. 4 plays and 63 yards for a touchdown. 5 plays, 80 yards for a touchdown. I mean, their drives were 4, 5, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
Oregon led the country in big plays, and we talked about it last week, during the regular season. And JMU's defense going into this, all the metrics said that they were going to be okay. They weren't going to get embarrassed by Oregon. They got embarrassed by Oregon.
Yeah.
They put up 51.
I mean, so you're sitting there on Saturday night, and we had a great NFL game to watch at the same time, thank goodness.
Yes.
But they took us out of this. They after 3 o'clock, after 3:30, there was nothing to watch.
No.
There was no good college football. So now we get, you know.
The only saving grace was the backdoor cover.
Yes, exactly. I did not bet either one of these, and I'm thankful I didn't. But Oregon goes to plays Texas Tech now. That's at the Orange Bowl next week. And Ole Miss plays Georgia in the rematch at the Sugar Bowl. So it's kind of equidistant between both schools, probably a little closer to Ole Miss in Louisiana, but still it's very close. So we have we have 4 good matchups that we'll get into next week because the games don't play until New Year's Eve.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, listen. You have Marcus Freeman saying nobody cares about the playoffs right now because he wasn't in there. So he made a big statement about how this wasn't good watching football. And I understand him being a little bit sour. We had 2 excellent games. I'm looking forward to 4 excellent games next week. Hopefully we get those. G?
So, you know, when we watch college basketball, you know, the only equivalent is the 15-16 matchups. When you get the 16-1 and the 15-2, that's what these kind of felt like, which is, you know, the only way these guys are going to have a shot. Now, you know, you guys watch enough college football to know, do you continue? Is it worth doing it this way, with giving them those 2 other bids? I mean, normally, yeah, I know where you're going, Ken. That's where I was going to go. Normally, we probably would have had an ACC team like Miami in one of these 2 spots, right? So only one of these probably would have been a complete blowout. But what do you think, Kev?
Well, you know, to me, I also look back at the CFP playoffs in general.
Mm-hmm.
Clemson 44-16 over Alabama. LSU 63-28 over Oklahoma. The semifinals was the championship game. Georgia 63-7
over TCU. That was the championship game after TCU upset Michigan.
Yep. 59-20. Notre Dame losing 30-3 to Clemson. I mean, blowouts happen a lot.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And this year,
the talent disparity is the big difference, though.
Yeah.
The difference this year is having 2 group of 5s in there instead of just 1. Normally, it was 1.
I was teeing you up, Kev. I knew.
And I hate doing this, and we know how I feel about this. Because college basketball is a little bit different before we get into that. Just because, again, a jump shot's not falling, a guy gets into foul trouble, refs are calling a tight, whatever. A lot of styles make fights. Guys hit threes they don't expect. I always think back to that Michigan State game where you picked them to go to the Final 4 and they lost in the first round. a blanket on who it was that was burying every three known to man. It was a Southern school that just kept bitten every freaking shot.
Yeah.
And sometimes it just happens to you. But in football, usually the power – I mean, we have Boise State, Oklahoma, but you don't have a lot of those, right?
No. Yeah.
Everybody remembers that game, right?
I got you.
Well, there's no upsets. Boise State, Oklahoma. I get it. But it happened once, and Boise State was really good and had a lot of pros. But
Appalachian State, Michigan in the regular season. Well, that's
right.
It happens once in the blue moon. You know, it's once every 10 years.
Exactly. And I hate saying this, but is this something that we have to move to a 16-game playoff? So this way, if there is one team, it's the 16-1, and the one gets the pass.
I think you might have to.
Because you can't – I mean, listen, when we go to – and we watch the NCAA tournament together every year. We've been doing it for 30-plus years now, right?
Yep.
Whenever we're sitting there in the next four games, the window has two 16-1s or two 15-2s. We're like, oh, it's a bad lot of games. We're only going to be able to really watch two good games. And it happens to us watching basketball. And sometimes it's a good game, but we don't expect it. We're just like, oh, we automatically groan a little bit that this is the bad window. We should go get lunch now. We should start dinner. We go to dinner early tonight. This is what we start thinking about because we want to get the better games.
Yep.
And now it's like, I hate adding teams, but I don't know what your thoughts are on that, G. But is it better just to have the 16 and the 1 and just call it the pass game?
See,
where Tulane gets in?
See, I don't think so. I think you're good at 12 where you are right now. I think exactly what Kev said was the difference was this particular year we wind up getting two of those guys in and not one. So if it was only one of those two teams that wound up being the blowout and the other game would have been, you know, Notre Dame, Texas, one of those teams that didn't make it, right? I think it's a lot different because the talent difference is less than what you saw here. Here, the talent difference between James Madison and Tulane with these teams is far. I mean, it's a big talent difference. Darren?
Here's the question, though. Because if one other team would have gotten in over James Madison, it would have been Virginia or Duke, who lost to Tulane in the regular season, right? Yeah. So now you're saying to yourself, would we have gotten, just because it's an ACC school, would we have gotten a good game? Would Virginia have been able to keep it close? I think they might have a little bit more competitive.
Well,
I think Duke could have kept it close. Maybe. I don't know.
But it's a shame because the team with the most talent from that conference was Miami.
Of course. But they didn't
that's the team.
Title game,
you know what I mean? Like, that's a team that probably should have gotten in that didn't.
Well, they did get in. But that kept Notre Dame out, right? And then
as the ACC.
Exactly.
You know,
they would have been the automatic ACC bid. Yeah.
Right.
And then Notre Dame would have been in, and we wouldn't have had anything like that this week. We would have had three competitive games.
We don't know. But the talent.
We knew before the game started that there were no game. There was
no
game in these two.
Listen, exactly what you guys stated, though. The talent difference is smaller, and therefore you expect the game to be better. You still may get a blowout, but.
Yep.
All right. Kev. Hidden gems, what do we got for this week?
Yeah, just looking back, you know, so now teams with a 17-point lead in the college football playoff era are now 28-2. The losses are Oklahoma against Alabama this weekend, and in 2018, Oklahoma blew a 17-point lead to Georgia.
Wow.
Miami, you know, great defensive effort here. You go back to their 2001 championship team, 12-0. Great defense. They scored 50 offensive touchdowns for the season. If you take away the offensive touchdowns, this defense is still good enough. They go 8-4. Not scoring a single offensive touchdown. Wow. They are 8-4.
Wow.
It's crazy.
And I had one NFL stat I just happened to find. Larry Fitzgerald.
Yes.
Hall of Famer, you know. Credited with 29 drops in his NFL career. He was credited with 39 tackles. That was more likely to make a tackle than drop a
pick. I like that. That's a good one.
That's awesome.
Always sure-handed, man.
One last college football point. The Notre Dame-USC matchup is now off for 2026. Yep. This is what happens with the super conferences now. Now, listen, will it affect football in 5 years? Will people even remember it? I mean, some will, but most that don't care about these two schools won't. But when you come in an area like we do where there is no major college football, so the USC Notre Dame game is a big deal.
Yep.
It's what's gone wrong with the sport right now. This is what's happening wrong to the sport. These two teams have been playing each other forever. Now no longer.
We've replaced it with the Catholics versus the Mormons.
Yes. Thank goodness.
All right. Let's move to the NFL. So we're going to locally, you guys got like 8 minutes total for the local teams. You ready? So the Jets lose to the Saints 29-6. Go ahead. Tell me.
The Jets were paid to go down and play a football game in New Orleans. The offense was non-existent. Brady Cook looked awful. The defense was okay for three quarters, got worn down at the end, and they lose and move up one spot in the NFL draft. Darren.
Excellent summation. Darren?
Just pathetic. New Orleans is a bad team, and they beat the Jets by 23 points. The Jets now are officially the worst team in the NFL. I think they're worse than the Giants. I think they're worse than the Raiders because you're not seeing anything to build on. You don't see anything on offense or defense where you're like, all right, you know, listen, they played them tough. We didn't play anybody tough. We were down 9-6 for a while, but Brady Cook basically showed us that he is not going to be a guy that you can even remotely look at next year.
Even as a backup, yep.
Even as a backup, he just doesn't have it. And, you know, Breece, again, doesn't get enough touches. Inconsistent all over the place. So many holes in this team. Please don't trade up for a quarterback unless you think he's a god, because the simple fact of the matter is there's too many holes to fill on this team.
Yes.
By record, you are 3-12 and still a game better than the other New York team the Giants lose to the Vikings 16-13. The Giants fall to 2-13. And they will wind up playing the Raiders this week. For the winner is actually the loser, because they will drop out of the number one spot for the draft. Darren?
Have you ever seen two teams play for a 0-0 tie?
Jackson Dart, 7-for-13 for 33 yards.
Yeah.
2 carries for 7 yards. I mean, he amounted for 40 yards of total offense. Yeah. And McCarthy got hurt. I mean, what were you about to say, Kev? Sorry.
And he got sacked for 20 yards.
That is 20 yards. I mean, the fact is that the regression of Dart, you kind of expected a little bit when Dable got let go, but it seems like it's a little bit more severe than I thought. Minnesota didn't play well, and they went back to Brosma, who was inept against Seattle. Maybe he had the worst start ever. He did enough to lead him down the field to win the game by the field goal. Giants are just not a good football team. They're not good defensively. They're not good offensively. There's nothing to hang your hat on. I mean, Tyrone Tracy looks like he's an okay player. Scadaboo and him will be a nice little combo. The receiver comes back. Why am I blanking on his name? The kid from LSU. Malik Nabers comes back. You know, you got a weapon out there. Outside of that, there's nothing to like about this team right now. The defense has just gone backwards all over the place.
All right. AFC playoff standings. We'll run them through. Number one seed right now is Denver at 12-3. They lost to the Jaguars 34-20. Lawrence had a great game, threw 3 touchdowns. He rushed for another. Broncos snapped their 12-game winning streak. Denver's at 12-3 in the one seed. Jacksonville with the win is in the 3 seed right now. They're 11-4. They lead the AFC South. Darren?
Jacksonville just looks like unbelievable on offense right now.
Yeah.
Looks like everything is just clicking. And, you know, they dominated a great Denver defense, the best defense in the league. They dominated them. Denver could do nothing with it. I guess I'm going to bring up the same point to both of you guys I brought up last week or the week before. There's just something about Bo Nix where he makes a big play, but he doesn't seem to be able to string them together right now. Even though they're winning games, I haven't seen that offensive push like we saw last year. I don't know. I'm not saying he's worse or different. I think he's probably better than he was last year. But I feel like the Denver offense sputters a little bit more than you expect with the playmakers they have around them. Just my thought on it. I don't know what you
guys think. I'm not sure where we stand now, but, you know, about 5 weeks ago, I brought up the stat. The top two teams in 3 and outs were actually the Broncos and the Eagles.
Yeah.
So, you know, that just shows that, you know, that offense is very inconsistent. They've survived with a terrific defense. And like you said, the Jaguars are just playing so well. They took advantage of their opportunities, and the Denver defense couldn't hold them off.
Nah. Yeah.
Great game by Jacksonville.
All right, so that's the 1 and the 3 seed. The 2 seed is the Pats. They beat the Ravens Sunday night 28-24. They rallied from an 11-point fourth quarter deficit behind Drake May's 380 yards passing. They clinch a playoff berth. They are the 2 seed. With the loss, the Ravens fall to 7-8. They are currently the ninth seed. If you were ranking them in order, we know only the top seven make it. At the moment, they're 7-8. Pittsburgh is the four seed. I'm going to come right back to you, Darren. Pittsburgh is the four seed. They beat the Lions 29-24. So with the win, they're at 9-6. So basically, you got two games left. The Ravens need two wins. Steelers need two losses. And then they need help, the Ravens, to get in on the tiebreaker. So we're going to find out. Darren?
Yeah, I mean, this game, you know, Lamar getting hurt, obviously, is definitely a factor. And Henry fumbling early on was definitely a factor in this one. And Flowers obviously fumbling late was a factor. Yeah. But how does Henry sit out the last 12 minutes? How's he not getting the game?
I mean, I've had Henry
with this team right now.
We're rotating. I've had Derrick Henry. I had Derrick Henry in fantasy this year, and it's just so inconsistent how they use him. It makes no sense. Last night, the only thing that was working was them running the ball right up the gut, and all of a sudden they just stopped. They take Henry out for like, I don't know, what was it, 6 minute stretch where he didn't even touch the ball. It was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Baltimore's defense is not what it was, and that's a big thing that stands out to you. New England went and took it. I'm not going to take it away from them. They did what they had to do. I just don't understand what Monken and Harbaugh are doing, Kev. I just don't get it.
Yeah, you know, Darren, I remember after week one or two, you brought up a point. I think it was after week one about Harbaugh and what's going on with him. This is now the 13th game since 2020 that they've blown a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
At some point, you know what, and Harbaugh's been great there in Baltimore. At some point, he's been there 18 years. Only Tomlin's coached longer right now in the spot. Sometimes you just need to change.
Yeah, I agree.
The one thing I'll say is that I want to keep Glenn, even though the team looks like shit. But the fact of the matter is, if Harbaugh or Tomlin are the guys that are released for some reason, that might be the only guy I'd make the move for.
It's like the Patriots getting rid of Mayo for Vrabel. Yeah, it was that much of an upgrade. It would be the same situation. Otherwise, like you said, Darren, I want Glenn here next year.
So Pittsburgh is at Cleveland this week. Baltimore is at Green Bay, and then they play each other the last week of the season. So
may not matter.
May not matter. I agree.
And Baltimore Green Bay is an interesting team. Neither team can afford to lose that one. Anyway, we'll get to that later.
Five seed is the Chargers. They beat the Cowboys 34-17. They would be the wild card one right now. The sixth seed are the Bills. They beat the Browns 23-20. They are the second wild card team at the moment. They're 11-4. And then I'm sorry, Darren.
Yeah, just in this one, Josh Allen threw for 130, ran for 17. Cleveland kind of stymied him a little bit.
Yeah.
The door actually outrushed him and outthrew him, but he threw two interceptions, so don't get me wrong. It's just, I don't know, Buffalo finds a way to win. There's something I don't trust about this team in a big spot in the playoffs right now because I don't like their defense. But I do, I mean, Josh Allen can run over anybody at any point, any time. He doesn't have Mahomes to deal with, doesn't have Burrow to deal with, won't have Lamar to deal with. He's going to be the most experienced quarterback there, so we'll see how it goes. But something about this team that leaves teams in there a little longer than you'd like to see.
They've been too inconsistent this year and too up and down. And, you know, like you said, Darren, they're finding a way to pull out wins. But can I continue coming to the playoffs?
That's the key.
All right, seventh seed is the Texans. They beat the Raiders 23-21. And then the first team, which would be the eighth seed if there was one, are the Colts. They're 8-6. They're playing right now. They're losing 24-17 almost at halftime.
Philip Rivers is looking good tonight.
He is looking
good. He shut the rust. 5 years of rust were shaking off last week. He's looking real good tonight.
He is.
Keeping
a minute.
After tonight, Indianapolis has Jacksonville and Houston, but they really need to win tonight. Otherwise, they're still, you know, two games back with two to play. So that's where we stand in the AFC. Then we move to the NFC, guys. Number one is the Seahawks at 12-3. That was the Thursday night game. The Thursday game. They beat the Rams 38-37 in overtime. This was a back-and-forth thriller. Darren, talk to us.
Ridiculous comeback. It was 30-14. It looked like it was over in the fourth quarter. The crazy two-point conversion overturn is probably something, I guess it's – I'm surprised that it got overturned. I'm surprised they didn't just keep the ruling on the field because it wasn't that blatantly obvious to me. I was I picked Seattle. I was rooting for Seattle. I bet Seattle. I was fine with it. I just didn't I was stunned by that because I don't think I'd ever seen a play like that happen. And it wasn't like Charbonnet was trying to, like, die for the ball.
No.
He picked it up matter-of-factly. And they overturned. They gave him the points. I was a little surprised at how that went down. But, you know, again, this might be the game that could turn Sam Darnold.
Could be.
In big spots, he had not looked good at all. And he wasn't looking good for three quarters in this game.
Yep.
And then in the fourth quarter, he leads a 16-point comeback and then gets the two-point conversion to win it in overtime, which I like the fact that they went for it.
You had to. Yep.
I think it's the right call, either way.
Absolutely.
At that moment. But it was definitely, definitely. We said it was going to be the game of the week, and it was that and the Saturday night game. There was a couple, but that was easily right there with it. I just, I think that this could be something special for Darnold out of this game.
All right. So with the win, Seattle, they are currently the one seed. They did clinch a playoff berth. The Rams, who they beat, are the five seed at the moment. They also clinched a playoff berth. They're at 11-4. The two seed at the moment are the Bears. They're 11-4. They beat the Packers 22-16 in overtime. With the loss, the Packers are now at the moment the seven seed at 9-5-1. We mentioned the Lions earlier because they lost to the Steelers. I'm going to come right back to that.
I know.
So the only situation that's available other than the NFC South is Detroit needs to win two. Green Bay needs to lose two. Otherwise, Detroit is out and Green Bay is in as the seventh seed. Green Bay has Baltimore at home and then at Minnesota. Detroit is at Minnesota and then at Chicago. Darren, that's a lot to take in, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, Green Bay kind of really dominated this game. Okay. And then, you know, they get the Bears scored 10 points in the last 2:04. Again, you know, the announcers are saying, you got to kick this field goal early. You got to kick this field goal early. They finally get off, but not really up for the 2-minute warning. Wow, we hit the crossbar. You guys are ahead of
crossbar.
Me.
That's all right. That's 5 minutes ago.
What? That was like 3 hours ago for you guys. For me, it's just now. You know, they get the field goal, then they get the onside kick as, you know, just took his eyes off the ball a little bit and let that thing eat him up. Bears recover it 4th-and-4. They get the touchdown to tie it up. And then in overtime, you know, they fumble on the 4th-and-1. Chicago comes down the field and wins it. Again, Jordan Love getting knocked out. I don't think it hurt them that much. Wayne's, I thought, played really well. I don't think you really criticized.
Real love,
but
yeah.
He did. He looked really good. So I wouldn't say it was the quarterback injury that cost them, but wow, I mean, Chicago's got a few of these this year.
Yeah,
they've gotten a few where they've kind of gotten bailed out, and give them credit, but they've been a little lucky.
Don't you think there's a lot of similarities between them and the Commanders last year, who got a couple of those at the end, right?
If you remember, right? Yep. They did the Hail Mary to them.
They've got about 6 or 7 of these types of wins this year. But like you said, Darren, that field goal, you know, it's funny. You know, the broadcast, you got to get this off. You know, Santos is taking forever, blah, blah, blah. And you think about it, if he rushes and he kicks his field goal and there's like 2:08 left, we have time. The Bears probably kick off there because they would still have the 2-minute warning and 2 timeouts to stop the clock 3 times.
Yeah, maybe.
Because it was after the 2-minute warning, technically, that the kick was good.
Maybe. Yeah.
3 timeout. And all of a sudden, now they're going down. They're going, well, if we kick it away, we're not getting the ball back till about 45 seconds. So let's go for the onside kick. It's funny how that worked out.
And it worked.
You're right. Yeah.
And you know what? They did what they had to do. They find a way in these clutch moments. But Chicago is, listen, they're doing everything right now.
Hey, these two teams played within 3 weeks and they were two terrific games, both.
Yeah.
You know, touchdown late or an overtime to win the game.
If you told me Parsons wasn't going to play and you told me Love wasn't going to play and Green Bay was going to be the better team, I would have been a little surprised going in. But
yep,
Packers is definitely for real.
All right, 3 seed of the Eagles. They beat the Commanders 29-18. They're the 3 seed. They clinched the NFC East. So you already have we already talked about 4 teams that have clinched. The 5th team that already clinched is playing right now with San Francisco. They're the 6th seed. I'm going to come back to the 4th seed. San Francisco, they're 10-4. They clinched. So they're in. So five teams have already clinched. Green Bay, we know, is a 7. Detroit is the 8. The only seed left there then is the 4 seed, which right now is the Carolina Panthers. They beat the Bucs 23-20. Carolina took control of the NFC South race with the narrow win sealed by a late interception off Baker Mayfield. With the loss, the Bucs fall to 7-8. They are on the outside looking in. Carolina, they have Seattle at home, and then they're at Tampa. Tampa is at Miami, and then they have Carolina. So they have a game, and then we're going to see what happens in the last game of the season. Carolina obviously plays Seattle, which is the harder of the two. Tampa Bay gets Miami this week. Darren?
The thing about Bryce Young is he doesn't do anything that makes you think he's great, but he doesn't turn it over.
No.
And they keep moving the ball, and McMillan's been really good. I mean, their run game got shut down this week by Tampa. Tampa held them in check. Both Dowdle and Hubbard did nothing. But Carolina's defense keeps them somewhat competitive. Baker, again, checking down a lot. 18 completions for only 145 yards and throws the big pick, which was just a miscommunication between him and the receiver late. But this is almost like reminding you of a little bit of an older Baker, not the Baker we saw the last two seasons. Again, I've been thinking that maybe that shoulder is still banged up. That's what I'm guessing.
Be something, yeah.
But or he just doesn't have the magic right now this year, unless he's playing the Jets late, which isn't really that hard. You know, it's going to come down to the last game because even if as long as Tampa doesn't lose to Miami, who's playing Quinn Ewers,
yep.
It's going to come down to the last game of the season, and the winner Agreed. Will move on, and the loser will be gone.
All right, Darren.
Yeah.
What do you got for us? Got some buried treasures?
Well, before we get into that, just this week, just a couple of big games to look at. Well, you talked about Seattle, Carolina. That's a big one for both teams because Seattle's trying to hold on to that one seed. Carolina's trying to make sure that they're, you know, they have a shot to clinch this week if they win and Tampa loses, so they have to play that game. Philly, Buffalo on Sunday night. Going to be interesting about two teams that are a little bit. Both got the records that look good, but neither team has looked as impressive as they have in years past. So that'll be kind of cool. Chicago, San Francisco, another big game that'll be fun to watch. But the Christmas trio, the only game worth watching kind of is Detroit at Minnesota because Detroit has a chance. I mean, otherwise you really got nothing in this in all of the Christmas games. You got Washington and Dallas. You got Kansas City, Denver. I mean, Denver's trying to hold on to the one seed, so you figure they will. But, wow, that's not good.
Beginning of the year, you know, you thought Washington with Daniels would be there. Gets Dallas is a big game. You got Kansas City. You figure that's a big game. Boy, the NFL really got hurt with these games this Christmas. Let me tell you.
Saturday works out well, though. Saturday you get Houston and the Chargers and Baltimore-Green Bay. Baltimore-Green Bay is both teams need it. Houston and the Chargers, both teams need it. So that's kind of interesting. It's going to be listen, we're going to have a really nice finish. Whoever gets through in the AFC, unless it's Buffalo that goes all the way, it's going to be a new face for us that we haven't seen in a while.
Yep.
On the other side, the NFC, we got a lot of familiar faces, but a few new ones as well. So we're going to see how it goes. But the football season's been somewhat exciting, so we'll see what we get. The other thing I'm just going to point out real quick, Kansas City got blown out by Tennessee. And almost everybody played. I mean, the backup quarterback got hurt too. If you don't think Mahomes is that big difference maker, and then you watch team play without him.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, everybody else played, okay? Everybody played until Minshew got hurt. Everybody played. If you don't think this guy carries a team and you think he's overrated, you're nuts. I mean, he's
– Darren, absolutely.
I watched that game a little bit, and I was just like, oh, my God, this team looks like they're lost without Patrick Mahomes. His magic does a lot for this freaking team. A couple of – fun little buried treasures for you guys this week. And it wasn't a lot because it's a short week for us, but we'll get it in there. Kev, I know Bobby Bonilla Day. What day is that?
June 1st.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you know he has a second Bobby Bonilla Day? You know the Orioles give him $500,000 a year from 2004 to 2029? This guy's the best. Whoever his agent is should be enshrined. Here's one for you, Gino. You know, Babe Ruth has hit 405 home runs after Dick Van Dyke was born.
And finally, wow.
College basketball point. 41 years ago this week, we had the first female to ever dunk in a basketball game. Georgianne Wells did it for the University of West Virginia. So that's all I got for the buried treasures. The Dick Van Dyke one, I thought you'd appreciate, Kev.
That was funny. Yeah, that was great.
And there we are.
We had some baseball moves. I'll go through them if you guys need to throw something out there. So Michael King signed a 3-year deal with the Padres, 3 for $75. Darren?
He can opt out after each year.
Yep.
He can opt out after 26 and 27. So it could just be a 1-year deal. We'll find out.
It's really a great deal for Michael King.
It is. Absolutely.
If he bounces back this year, he's opting out and he gets a much bigger deal next year.
He gets a much bigger deal.
Padres also
face by keeping somebody.
Padres also signed KBO, Korean baseball star Sung Moon Song, third baseman, 3 for $13. In 144 games in the Korean League, he had 26 home runs, 25 stolen bases. We'll see how that translates.
The Korean players haven't been as good as the Japanese players, so we'll see what happens.
We'll see. We had a 3-team trade between Pittsburgh, Tampa, and Houston, which brought Brandon Lowe to Lau to Pittsburgh.
It's nice to see Pittsburgh buying.
You know, that's a nice move to help. You know, they needed a power bat in the lineup. If he bounces back to where he was a couple of years ago, you know, he's had 2 or 3 years where he's been really good.
Hey, Paul Skeen, stay. We just got Brandon Lau for you. I mean, they need to get a couple more moves, but it's a start. It's good to see them buying.
Yep. Shane Baz was traded to Baltimore for 4 minor leaguers.
Baltimore's all in.
The Royals. Go ahead.
If Baz pitches, you know, we've been waiting for this kid to reach think his potential. If he ever can unlock it, Baltimore would be real good there.
I agree.
Between all of those trades, right, the 3-team and the Baz trade, the Rays brought in Houston's number one prospect, their number 3 prospect, Baltimore's 8, 12, 16, and 17th prospects. They traded for basically 6 prospects that are ranked in their systems 17 or better, which is pretty freaking good.
It's very good. That's
Tampa's MO.
Royals get Matt Strom in a trade from the Phillies. The White Sox wind up signing Munetaka Murakami.
That's a huge move for the White Sox.
2 years, $34 million. He's a big power hitter. If you look at some of the stuff, he also strikes out a lot. So we'll see how much that actually – how much power he provides. Right?
As a 22-year-old. I mean, that's impressive, though.
Yeah. Red Sox made a trade yesterday. Wilson Contreras from the Cardinals for 3 minor league pitchers. Where does he play, I think, is the big thing. Well, we'll see. They're really talking about him as a DH, so I'm not sure what they're going to get. We'll see. I think his catching days are for the most part over at this point,
yeah,
right?
I don't think he can do it anymore.
Yeah, but Cassis has not done well at first base yet for them.
Cardinals are going to pay $8 million of the remaining salary. And then today we had a trade. The Mets traded Jeff McNeil to the A's for pitching prospect Yordan Rodriguez and $5.75 million. The cleaning house Mets are at it again, Kev. What do you got to say?
It kind of felt that McNeil was going to be traded. He's got 1 year left on his contract anyway. It's not a big deal that way. A 17-year-old kid, that's all you could get from?
Listen, so like my daughter,
my daughter turned around and said, "Wait a second, he's younger than me."
There we are.
They go, "Yes, yes. What are they doing?"
They're trying to rid themselves of McNeil is what they're doing and having somebody eat a little bit of the salary. That's it.
They've
gotten somebody a little closer to the majors. Somebody maybe was in AAA that could have helped them.
It's a prelude for a bigger move. It has to be. These moves have to be a prelude. But gee, you skipped the biggest move of the weekend, and I don't understand how. The Yankees signed Paul Blackburn. Why? Was it the 6.23 ERA that made you clamor to make sure this guy's back in the team?
Hey,
I don't know that watches these games.
Zach Short, Ali Sanchez, come on, a couple of other former ex-Met greats.
Why? I don't need this. I don't need this around the holidays. What the hell's this?
Week 16 in the NFL. Is gone, done. 2 weeks left.
Why?
We are 74 and 70. It's time for week 17 picks. We went 7-2 as a group yesterday, this weekend. Kev, you were 2-1. I was 3-0. Darren, 2-1. I'm going to take the box, which I normally don't do. I'm going to take Green Bay at home -2.5 against Baltimore to start this off. I think this is the time that Baltimore is finally done, and this is the nail in the coffin. Kev, where you going?
Darren, go ahead.
All right, Darren.
Me?
Yeah. All right. I'll go last that often. I deserve to have my picks ravaged.
I'm going to take I don't like anything yet. I'm going to take Buffalo -2.5 against Philly. I think they'll win by a field goal at home. I'll take the Bills.
Okay.
I'm going to start with the I'm going to steal your thunder here a little bit. I'm going to take the Seahawks -7 at the Panthers. That just seems to be too much. Too little, I should say.
7.5 at the moment.
7.5, okay.
Yeah. Here's where I thought you were going. I'm going to Tampa Bay -5.5 against Miami.
I don't have that game either at all. I don't trust Baker Mayfield right now.
Well, this is Geno taking the Rasputin double, the Tampa Bay Green Bay double. Here we go. Darren?
This is going to be a surprise. I'm going to take Houston +2.5 at the Chargers. I think they're going to bounce back. I think that the Chargers are just better on the road.
I'm not surprised. I actually like that game a lot.
I'm taking Houston on the road, +2.5.
Kev?
I'm going to take another road team. I think it's still under a touchdown. Jaguars -6.5 at the Colts. I don't think Rivers is going to be able to keep up with Lawrence. And this offense for the Jaguars is just playing real well right now.
What do you have that as?
6.5.
Yep, got it. Yep. 6.5. Jack's -6.5. Got it. All right, my third game. I'm taking the Rams on the road -7.5. I think McVay wants them to play this out. I think they're going to play hard. They're still in contention for the one seed, technically. I mean, you know, two games left. Give me the Rams -7.5. Darren?
In a useless matchup, I'm taking Cincinnati laying 7 against Arizona. I think Cincinnati's like that great horse that finishes 5th that passes all the tiring horses. I think Arizona's just pretty well done. They try. They just don't have the skill right now. I'll take the Bengals.
All right. Kev?
God, I hate taking a third road team. Lions desperately need the win. I'm going to take the Lions 6.
Yeah. Is it just 6? I was looking at that too, Kev. I was between the 2.
Darren, you got it at 6?
Yep.
Yep.
All right.
All right. Those are the picks for week 17 of the NFL season. It's a small, condensed show. Merry Christmas, everybody. Darren?
Three quick points, okay? The Chiefs are moving to Kansas. I mean, they're still in Kansas City, just across the border. Ed Cooley suspended for throwing a water bottle in a clutch moment after they lost the game to Xavier, hit a kid.
Yeah.
Got suspended for a game. The family suing Ed Cooley and Georgetown University. This could become bigger. Just a nice little thing. The Knicks, a lot of the Knicks, the higher paid Knicks, gave most of their money from the NBA Cup winnings to staff, video people, medical, trainees, masseuses, all that type of stuff. They shared the wealth. Those are my little three quick points. Kev?
Well, now today, we didn't really touch on the Steelers Lions ending, but DK Metcalf, 2-game suspension for going after the fan in the stands.
Yep. He claims it was a racial something. Yelled at him. And then he insulted his mother.
And a quick quote-unquote boxing news. You know, maybe the Jake Paul experiment is over. He finally faced a real boxer in Anthony Joshua and wound up breaking his jaw.
I watched that fight. Oh, God.
What a punch that was. You know, shut Paul right up.
Well, I mean, the thing is that when boxing is becoming about Jake Paul, boxing is no longer serious. Yep. And this might change that around a little bit. It's time to get serious boxers back in the ring.
It's one thing for Logan to play in the WWE. That's fine. But Jake,
everybody knows what that is.
I'm sorry.
It's just not the same thing. I agree with you. You guys have anything else before we wrap up? The condensed episode 210. We are the Sports Kings from Queen, Darren here with Kevin here with Gino, talking about the wonderful, wild, and wacky world of sports. A wacky world, but we actually got a show in under an hour. Please download the podcast, whether you whether you get it from anywhere along the web. You know, you can get it from Spotify, TuneIn, Apple products, whatever you like. We post a lot on social. We're posting all the bowl games. Please pick your bowl games with us. See if you can outdo us, because it's not that hard. And without any further ado, may your sports be with you. And Merry Christmas.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.